Is Jesus Christ the only way to God? Is Jesus Christ the only way to receive salvation and the gift of eternal life? Is everyone else going to go to hell? In 1994, the Southern Baptist Convention was meeting their annual meeting, and they passed a resolution affirming all three of those statements. And when they had finished, one of the pastors there stood up and said this to everyone assembled. He said, "In regard to the resolution, I understand God to be gracious, life-giving mystery, who for me is most clearly encountered in the human Jesus Christ. Therefore, I am Christian." I assume that there are other lights, other understandings of God's movement of love and justice in our world. To judge with certainty another person's relationship to God is, for me, the height of arrogance. In other words, he was saying, no, I do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, and to say so is arrogant. And therein lies a big problem. Is it arrogant for you and me to say that Jesus Christ is God's only Son and the only way to heaven and everyone else is going to go to hell? Let's talk about it. Let's start first with the definition of the word arrogant. This is what Webster says, arrogance, Webster. Arrogance is an attitude of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or in presumptuous claims or assumptions. And this is another definition of arrogance. The quality of being unpleasantly proud and behaving as if you are more important than or know more than other people. And I'm afraid that that is how a number of non-Christians see us Christians. They see us as arrogant because of our view of scriptures and because of our saying that our faith, our Savior, is the only way to salvation. You probably don't need examples, but here's one anyway. I got this one off of the internet at a site that was discussing this very subject. There were many, many responses from a number of people there, but this is one that I picked out from a guy who had six bullet points in his thoughts. He said, number one, the arrogance is to claim God's existence. And the word God's was with a little case G and in quotation marks. The arrogance is to claim God's existence without a single shred of evidence for its existence. Here's point number two. He said the arrogance is to ask for donations in order to use the money to brainwash the donors. His third point, the arrogance is the gullible poisoning of the minds of innocent children with absurd stories about God. Number four, the arrogance is to make a brutal, ruthless, genocide maniac look like a loving God. Is this brutal or what? This is number five. The arrogance is to live outside the boundaries of moral values, disseminating lies and deceit while accusing those with moral values of not having them just because they can't get moral people to join their tribe and support them financially. And here's his last one, number six. The arrogance is to accuse honest people of being bad, dividing and creating a chasm between humans. Well, I guess we won't see that guy visiting us anytime soon, will we? How do we deal with all that? Well, let's start here. Believing that you are going to go to heaven when you die because of the saving grace and sacrificial death of Jesus Christ is not arrogance. It's faith. It's faith. Faith is not exclusive to Christians. Many non-Christians have lots of faith, just as we do. For instance, they have faith that the sun's going to come up in the morning. They have faith that the chair they're sitting in is going to hold them up. They have faith if they turn on the faucet, the water is going to come out of it. They have faith that if they sit in an airplane and it takes off, it's going to fly and it's going to land safely at the other end. All those examples, and many others like them, have something in common. They can see it. They can feel it. They can experience it. And they can do so repeatedly, over and over. That's what we call natural faith. However, our faith, and we're going to talk about it, is not natural faith. Our faith is supernatural faith. Do you remember that wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 11 on faith? It says this, begins this way. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know what? It takes a ton of faith to have faith like that. It's humbling to have faith like that. It's not arrogant. It's humbling. That kind of faith is a gift from God. That's what the Bible says. If you and I ever become arrogant about our faith, then we are out of bounds. If you or I ever look down on other people because they don't believe the same way we do, we are out of bounds. However, if you or I ignore other people because they do not share our faith, we are not just out of bounds, we are being disobedient to the Word of God, the author of our faith. He instructed us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm going to say this. I used to think that meant you paid a missionary to go to Africa. No. The world he's talking about is wherever you step out of this place when you leave here. Your world. You are to preach the gospel in your world, wherever you are. And it all has to do with how you do it, how you witness, how you communicate about God. And part of that is the lifestyle you lead. What people see in you, how you act and how you react. We can be arrogant in that if we're not careful. Is it arrogant for you to believe you're going to go to heaven? No, it's not. It is arrogant, however, if you think that you're going to go there because you deserve it or that you earned it, that you did anything to get that free gift. It comes from God only. We believe we're going to heaven only because of God's grace. It's all about grace, folks. It's all about grace. That's the only way that you and I are ever going to see eternity is the grace of God. Not because of anything I did or you did. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. I wrote those in all capital letters. No one may boast. Proverbs 8:18, God said, I hate pride and arrogance. Proverbs 11:2, with humility comes wisdom. Oh, that we would all be bold enough to share our faith in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with all those who deny him, but to do it with a kind of love and humility and gentleness that reflect the nature of the Holy Spirit. That's the opposite of arrogance. The devil would love nothing more than for you or me to turn off other people to Jesus Christ because we exhibit arrogance about it. The devil just loves that. Okay, let's get personal. Do you have any family members who reject Jesus Christ? Most of us do. Do you have any close friends who reject Jesus Christ? Most of us do. When you really think about the consequences of their disbelief, what are the most prominent feelings that you have about it? Is it disgust? Is it apathy? Let them go. Can't do anything about it. Is it a sense of urgency? Is it a sense of superiority? Let me suggest that it should be sorrow, concern, love, and a yearning for their eyes to be opened and their hearts to see what they cannot see. Only God can do that. He did it for you. And with those kinds of feelings for them, how then should you communicate your faith with them? You know all the right answers. I don't have to tell you, but knowing it and doing it? Oh, that's two different things. Be careful. Be full of care when you share your faith with others, but just do it. Do it. I mentioned in that list the word urgency. And there is some truth to that. Why is there truth to that? Because time is running out for everybody, and we are all going to die. We started dying when we were born, and we're going to die. And because of the certainty of death, which is a life event that we can't avoid or do anything about, because of that, we need to be concerned that our loved ones, our friends, our family members have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ before it is too late. But don't allow that feeling of urgency to define your style of witnessing toward them. Be careful. You can't shove it down their throats. Another part of time running out is the possibility that we are in the end times and that Jesus is going to come back very soon. Did you hear about the old farmer who had a grandfather clock? And it went haywire one night at midnight and it chimed 14 times. And he jumped out of bed. He said, "Nelly, get up. It's later than it's ever been before." Well, he was right. It is later than it's ever been before, and it always will be because of the promised return of Jesus Christ. We've been in the last days for a long time. And we may all go to heaven before Jesus comes back, but you know what? We may be driving home today and the heavens may split open and he may come out of heaven, the King of Kings. It could happen. We'd never know. We do not know. We do not know. We do not know. But I do know this, I would love to have all my family members behold him and rejoice in him and raise their hands to him in reverence to him and honor him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, their Savior. Whether it's his second coming or hopefully they're going into heaven to meet him. I long for that for all my family members. Don't you feel the same way? Don't you? We cannot make them accept Jesus Christ. We can, however, share with them and live in such a way that they see him and they want him And you can also wear out your knees praying for them. I love the way R.C. Sproul used to say, eat dirt praying for them. Pray for God to convert them and bring them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we can weep for them. That's not arrogance. That's grief. Grieving for your loved ones. I do not want to stand before God and have him say to me, Harry, why did you not tell them about me the way I told you to? Harry, why didn't you pray for them the way I told you to? And I don't want to stand before God and have him say, Harry, why did you arrogantly proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ in such a way that you turned them off and they turned their backs on me? Are you listening to me? Are your ears open? You getting the message? I see a lot of people nodding. That's good. The right kind of nod. I like that. Now, this is a little different, but it's similar. There are believers in Jesus Christ who have fallen away from the church. They don't go to any church and they don't wish to again in the future. They're not lost in the kingdom of God, but they are lost in his kingdom here on earth. In fact, some researchers recently reported that about 40 million Christians who used to attend church 20 years ago do not attend church now. And furthermore, they said by the year 2050, that's about 25 years from now, they said that number is expected to grow from 40 million to 66 million people who no longer go to church. When you ask those people why they no longer go to church, the most common answers are these. They feel that the church is hypocritical, judgmental, inauthentic, exclusive, and too political. Wow, I can't help but wonder what they might say about covenant fellowship when I read that. We really don't know. Maybe we don't want to know. Well, I would hope they would not perceive us as any of the things that I just listed. And yes, I do want to know. I do need to know. Wouldn't you just love to bring some of those people back into the fold? I'm very grateful to say that in my view, in my vantage point, we have lost more than 50% of our congregation to natural causes or relocation. I don't know that any one person has turned their back on the church or Jesus Christ due to our behavior or our style. I don't know that that's happened. But if there is one lost sheep who has turned their back on the church because of our embarrassing sinfulness, then I want us to repent. I want us to grow spiritually and mature in Christ and love them back into the fold. So if you know anybody like that, let's work together on loving them back. By the way, here's another thing that researchers learned about these wandering sheep. It says they stopped attending church because it was inconvenient. Well, I squirmed when I read that one because I like my convenience. I like comfort. And the older I get, the more I like convenience and comfort. Anybody? Okay, I see nods around the room. I am as vulnerable as anyone here to cater to myself rather than serving God the way I ought to serve God. And that reminds me, and maybe this is a good time for me to say again, that 2 weeks from today we're going to be meeting at 10 a.m. And we asked for your feedback on that, and you told us you would be here. Just saying. Hour and a half drive. I'll see you on the 22nd. Yes, I will. That's a commitment. I said earlier that Webster defines arrogance this way: an attitude of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner. Well, in a way, I just exhibited an arrogant attitude. Am I charging you to show up on the 22nd? And if you look at it that way, it would be very easy for you to say, who does he think he is? He has no idea what it takes for me to get there on Sunday morning. And you know what? You're right. I have no idea what it takes for you to get here. No idea whatsoever. You have no idea what it takes for me to get here. It is incumbent upon me, I think, to listen to this sermon again and to show you empathy, love, and respect. That's one of the biggest challenges that all of us have as we face life together. We are to love one another. Period. And I guess that's one of the themes of this entire message. And I can't say it better than Jesus said it in John 13. A new command I give to you, love one another. He said, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So now I repeat. Love those who need Christ enough to reach out to them with empathy, love, and respect. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we hear your charge. And may we not be apathetic to it. No, Lord. May we be obedient and lovingly bold to declare our Savior, our loving Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the gift of grace that you so freely give. So help us to love, Lord, in a way that helps us to be a servant to others. In Jesus' holy name, amen.